This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Couple of things going down today. Georgia Tech basketball. They were up on Duke in the first half. Cooper Flagg, best player in college basketball, gets injured for Duke, leaves the game, but Duke comes back to win 78-70. So Georgia Tech, Mike, out of the ACC tournament, the conference tournament, should we say. Georgia lost, so they are out and waiting to see where they're going to land. Now, for Georgia Tech, they're 17-16 on the year. They didn't have, I don't believe, any hopes unless they made a deep run in this tournament to go to the NCAA tournament. But Georgia, on the other hand, you keep telling me that even though Mike White's team lost, they seem like they still have a chance to get in.
Now, again, Joe Lunardi is the guy everybody goes to as the bracketologist of bracketologists, and he still has them in the Midwest bracket, Indianapolis, as a 9 seed taking on number 8 seed Memphis. So potentially if the committee looks at that first round exit in the SEC tournament as a bad thing, would they move him up to 10? You know, I mean, I don't. As we said earlier, I mean, if you really wanted to make people get people interested in watching that, you know, the Dayton play-in games, put Georgia in that.
Yeah,
you know, put an SEC team in there like Oklahoma. But anyway, Oklahoma looks like they're in right now. Again, winning another one will certainly be the feather in the cap they need. But you're right, man. It's just you didn't want to go out that way because I think in the minds of Georgia fans, a little nervous. But Mike White certainly sounded confident that he thought they had what it takes, and so Lunardi has him in. But that was not what you needed because once again, they couldn't hold on to a lead, and they started missing some shots late. Hasn't had turnovers, and unfortunately, Oklahoma just played out of their mind down the stretch.
They really did. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, where it's Boneless Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wings. Coming up, guys, you'll hear from Kirby Smart. He stopped by the steakhouse along with Rusty Manziel on today and talking about spring football. We'll let you hear what he had to say about his team and where he's at as he continues to get his squad ready for the fall.
When we were in the office today, and man, by the way, thanks to Jimmy John's, they provided us sandwiches today for lunch, and they had the hot subs, man, beef and cheddar type things. I was roast beef. I was chowing down on that bad boy. But thanks to Mike Conti and the crew for feeding the animals today, Carl, in the meeting. But we were watching some of the ACC action, and everybody, as you mentioned earlier, was freaking out when Cooper Flagg goes down, lands funky on his ankle, and it looked like, oh my God, there goes Duke, there goes March Madness, there goes TV ratings. This guy's number one seed. And then they wheel him out in a wheelchair, gets x-rays, and it looks like he's okay. He's able to come back, and he was in his under his own power. He was able to put his sneaker back on, and he was watching the rest of the game on the bench. But to John Shire, giving updates, Malik Brown also re-injured his shoulder.
Yeah.
So they'll be banged up for the next round in a matchup with North Carolina.
Well, they're saying it doesn't look like he's going to be able to play in the semis, which is the ACC semifinal. Obviously, they're trying to win the conference tournament. But and why would you risk him? I mean, honestly, Duke's going to get in. It's simply about seeding now. Right. Obviously, you want to win the ACC tournament. That's great. But I'm not risking him for a chance to maybe make a run at the national title. So Flagg is a long shot, as they're saying, for the ACC semis. Meanwhile, we've been debating today, and you can join in at 404-726-0929. Are they finally going to draft a dog? And this is no pressure, by the way, from us. Draft the best player that you think fits what we're trying to do. But the fact that every year it seems like there are dogs who do fit that, that have been passed on by our Atlanta Falcons. And yesterday at their pro day, they had a large contingent there in Athens. And so as you send as many people or more people, Mike, than any other NFL team, it makes a lot of folks wonder, okay, so they saw everything they needed to see. Are they going to actually draft a dog?
Well, they let the Falcon fans know that we have left no stone unturned.
That's right.
When it comes to knowing everything you need to know about Georgia. And over the years, we've joked around about, I don't know, just gross indifference to Athens for whatever reason, no matter who the GM was. But yeah, 22 guys there, and they let you know about it. So that's good. Now, are you going to be able to get Jalen Walker? Probably not. Michael Williams, hopefully. Malachi Starks certainly sounds like it, you know, depending on somebody else maybe moving up for him. Maybe the Dolphins have been mentioned. But you've got a chance to maybe do some things, trade down, something the franchise has, I don't think they've ever done, at least not in my time here in the first round in Atlanta, and then maybe pick up an extra second rounder or a third rounder. Maybe that's in the offing. But I just, man, Michael Williams, to me, I think would certainly get the fan base electrified.
So you can get Jalen Walker if you want to. If you want to move to go get him, you can. I mean, the idea that we're stuck at 15, you're talking about moving back, which, again, may be the best play for this particular situation because you're gaining picks. But if you think, Mike, he's that much of a difference maker, go get him. What's the big deal? We see teams do this all the time.
Right.
And so for us, I know it's been a long time since the move was made to go get Julio Jones, but the fact is if you want to go get a guy, you go get him.
We moved up to get Desmond Trufant.
Absolutely. So I just, you can get any of these guys if you really think that's the case. But again, best case scenario is somebody falls to you exactly where you're sitting. You don't have to give up any additional draft capital, and you draft that guy. But I want to be clear, like, if you think Jalen Walker is that dude, you go make a move and you make a trade, right, and you go get him.
Unfortunately, don't have all the bullets in the gun for this one because we don't have a third, don't have the fifth or the sixth, and how you'd package it, unless you be willing to your point to maybe use a future pick. And, you know, Terry's got to put all the chips in right now because he's trying to hold on to his gig. They got to go to the playoffs this year. We got to win, more than 10 games or win enough games to be in the playoffs, period, if not win the division. I'm down with that. You know, the year that we went and got Julio, and Julio certainly got us, a couple of minutes away from winning the Super Bowl, but we also struggled offensively in the trenches, and that really did hurt us not having those picks that we lost the following year. But in the final analysis, Julio is one of the greatest Falcons to ever dress out and did everything nearly to get you to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you just hope that a guy pans out over the decade that you hopefully have him, and Julio did that. I think for Jalen Walker, Mike, what you need is a team that wants to move where we currently are, which means a team that's early in this draft to move back some. You swap picks, and you give up some futures, and you keep it moving. I like this is not going to be some kind of monetary transaction. You're simply giving up draft capital and switching picks with the team that may be interested in moving back to where you are. Everybody has their reasons, guys, as to why, whether there's a player they feel like they can get where we're at, and they don't need to pick him at 8 or 7 or 9 or 10. So, you just don't know, and that's why when we get closer to the draft, we'll start to see or at least get a feel for some teams' intentions on what we're hearing.
And the other thing today that happened is a guy that I've been talking about, and Carl always jokes around, I love Storm Norton because it's good to have depth, and, going back for a couple of years, we've not always had great depth. I think one thing that Terry Fontenot has always had is good depth in offensive line. So we signed Storm Norton for a two-year deal. He was good backing up and filling in,
yep,
right, for Caleb McGarry.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Ryan Neusel, he is not – he's been tendered. No, I haven't heard anything, Chris, about any team offering Ryan Neusel anything. So basically, the Falcons would have first right refusal to keep him. A lot of guys are hitting us up on the text line today, Carl, because former Georgia Bulldog, undrafted free agent, this one drove me crazy, that for some reason we missed on.
Really,
now, granted, we did have Alex Mack that following year that he came out, but Andrews, talking about David Andrews, he's been cut from the Patriots. They released their longtime center and captain. He'd missed basically almost the entire season, only played in 4 games, Carl, had shoulder surgery, had to shut it down last year. Chris, is he going to retire? What are they saying up in Boston, or is this something we should be doing?
Yeah, this is essentially, it looks like it's about 50-50 right now, whether he's going to keep playing or retire. Spent his entire career in New England, so you got to figure, hey, if there's maybe one spot he'd want to come finish out, why not? Come home.
Yeah, David Andrews is who we're talking about. Very good player. Team captain, all the things you would want. Except the fact that he's coming off of shoulder surgery.
Right.
At 32 and played limited games for the first time really in his career. He did have to a situation in 2019, but it had nothing to do with this physical injury. I'm
a little hesitant about that. I'm not saying that David won't land somewhere if he wants to play because he was really good.
Right.
But, you know, when you've got Robert Kraft talking about you in a way that he did today and saying, hey, this is a guy that exemplifies anybody that you'd want on your team to try to make a squad, and then you not only make the team, Mike, mm-hmm. but then you're a leader and you're one of these guys that they become to count on, or you become to count on, I think it speaks volumes about the kind of player that David is.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is, but I, that's my only concern is like the injury and where is he at right now?
That was the year 15 that was so bad at center that we had to go get Alex back and give him the money because God bless Joe Hawley, who's a great guy, and then was it James Stone? Remember we had the game where they couldn't get the snap to Matt Ryan?
Terrible.
Literally, they couldn't get the snap to Matt, but that was a year that this guy at Georgia, that's when I used to harp, that's when it all started, Carl, about harping on why don't we know these guys from Georgia? Because he was you didn't have to draft him. He was an undrafted free agent. You could have brought in. Either way, he's been a legend for the Patriots, and a lot of Falcon fans are saying, let's go get him.
404-726-0929. You guys are more than welcome to chime in. Coming up, Kirby Smart stopped by the steakhouse. We're going to let you hear what he had to say about spring football and what's going on. They also asked him about Pro Day and all the stuff that happened yesterday. It's become not old hat, but routine for Georgia to have every NFL exec or at least every front office there in Athens on their pro day because they're putting guys in the NFL every single year. But Kirby addresses a lot of different things. It is on the way here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also coming up, you will hear what Seth Emerson had to say about why he thinks Kirby stayed the course with his coaching staff. That's on the way in the 6 o'clock hour. Interesting stuff from Seth from The Athletic about the Dogs. Kirby Smart next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We always want to hear from Kirby Smart, what's going on with the program. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Mike, the thing about where Kirby is right now and you know, with spring football going on and then the pro day yesterday, there's just a lot happening. But he stopped by the steakhouse today. And they asked him a variety of things along with Rusty Manziel. And the first thing, you know, everybody's kind of wondering is, what can you really learn about your team during spring practice?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it boils back to. I try to find common denominator. I'm always looking for what makes good players good, what makes great players great, and what separates the best players we've had from the rest. And that's usually the common denominator. They love the game. They like to compete. And that rises to the top. It was just ironic that came about in the press conference, because the next day was the pro day. So I got to visit with probably five or six different head coaches and organizations yesterday morning, and they were talking about the same thing, not from my press conference, but just that for them, you know, one of the questions they used to always ask us was, well, how's it going to change him when he gets – you know, money. How's it going to change him when he comes into NFL-type money? Is he going to have the same passion, desire? And they used to frame those questions to us all the time, and I understand those questions much better now because we deal with it here. And it really across all college football is the guys that seem to be rising to the top are the ones that actually play hard, because playing hard is it's not like a given. Not like everybody does it. I mean, some guys don't play as hard as others. So I like to see the fire and passion.
Coach, you get a lot of questions on Gunnar Stockton. Obviously, he's, you know, who he is, and a lot of people are so familiar with him in state. But a young man that I got a chance to meet his family, a young man from the Northeast. He's a quarterback in your university, Ryan Puglisi. I'm not sure you get a ton of questions on him. Obviously, in the thick of this quarterback battle, tell me why you identified him early, why you like him, and why you're excited to see what Ryan Puglisi can do with these reps this spring.
Well, he's a competitor. He never flinched during the recruiting process. As you know, it's well documented. You know, we had another commitment at times. I forget the timeline. You know, it was off and on. But he never wavered. And those have been, you know, some of the best kids we've recruited that really they're like, well, I don't really care who else is coming. I don't really care who's there. I see the growth and development you've had at the quarterback position. He had a passion and energy about Georgia. He's a really good baseball player. He's got arm talent. He's got size. He had great, you know, his high school tape. He played in a really good league up there, and just a competitor. So he's come in, and, you know, he was one of those guys that really flashed when he was on the scout team, and that's traditionally what happens when you have a card, you don't have a read, and you just fire away. And he's made some really good throws on the run. He's got a strong arm, but he does have a long way to go in terms of learning exactly what we're asking him to do, the command of the offense, the volume of the offense. He's getting better at all those things.
What do you mean when you say Gunnar Stockton is not a rah-rah mindset? It's more of a get-to-work kind of mentality. Does that remind you of Stetson a little bit, or other guys, or talk about his leadership?
He's very different. He's very different than Carson. He's very different than Stetson. He's different than Jake and JT. I mean, he's kind of his own person. He's got a quiet confidence about him. You're not going to get a lot of.
Has he got some Nick Chubb to him, kind of?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. He's got a little. I don't want to say it's like it's just quiet confidence. I mean, and that's the way Nick was. Nick, you had to pull it out of Nick, and that's the way it is with Gunner. And you'd say, well, I don't want my quarterback to be that way. I want my quarterback to be, you know, loud, boisterous, and I mean, he is who he is, and as he gains more confidence, he takes a greater role, but he listens all the time, and you might not think he's listening, but he's listening. He's taking notes, and he's wise, and he's a great kid is what he is.
Let me ask you, Coach, about something else you said, which is I spent 10 years at Bama. I got 10 years here. I'm used to keeping the noise out, right? You're talking about comments made about your offensive coordinator. Kirby likes to keep his friends on staff. This guy, we could find anybody to be better than Mike Bobo. You said, I don't pay attention.
Sure.
So what are the rules? How do you detach when you're the most visible program in America? How do you hear about it but not pay attention to it? Are you really detached enough that you don't let the outside noise get to anybody around the program?
Yeah, I think I don't know that I'm detached enough. I'm confident enough in decision making. It's the strength that I think that I have as a leader of the organization is to look from 10,000 feet down and survey what we have, what we've done, what I've been around. I mean, you know, if this was 10, 15 years ago, you want to question everything, but this is I've been coaching a long time now, yeah. and I've worked for some really good coaches, and I've been around some really good coaches, and I've seen the way that I want it done, and I've seen the way other people do it, and you know, we've had a lot of success, and I really am confident in what we do and how we do it, and I think that works. That doesn't mean that college football hasn't changed, and the roster that we're working with now is not the same roster we worked with 5-6 years ago. The schedule that we play is not the same schedule we played 5 or 6 years ago, but I think our strength is in our retention and our continuity. There's a lot of programs that wish they had that same thing.
Do you take any offense when someone says Kirby takes care of his friends and it's hard for to make tough decisions?
No, I don't take any offense to it because they got a job to do too. I respect that's what pays the bills in our industry. You know, we're the bell cow of this university, and the reason we are is because people are so passionate about football. So we help balance the budget. We pay for a lot of other sports here, and if we didn't have mouths and things that promoted our sport, then it wouldn't be as good as it is.
30 seconds left with Coach Kirby Smart. This stuff about spring game is interesting. You said there's no guarantee we play it every year. Sounds like you're playing it this year. I also like what you said. Don't be fooled. Some coaches, separate of the portal and all that stuff and the money, they never like playing spring games to begin with, and you're hearing about that.
Yeah, I mean, you could say there's more injuries than a normal practice, so there's your risk. You got all kinds of depth problems. I mean, I haven't even had a padded practice yet, so for me to decide that, you know, it was a given before, so everybody assumed it, but it could have happened to us last year. We were down on some defensive linemen, and there comes a point where if you can't go out and play a game, then don't do it. You know, do something else that's better for your team. So I think that's a decision you have to make every year in the middle of spring.
Kirby Smart with the Steakhouse, Rusty Manziel as well today here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Full interviews online at Odyssey.com. And Mike, Kirby's talking about determining whether they're going to play the spring game, and he's saying, look, it comes down to personnel and how injured you are, but he's not making any guarantees or promises moving forward.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the show. I mean, it's, yes, 93K Day was a call to arms for Georgia fans to get reinvigorated, you know, taken over for Mark Richt, and it was a special time. But they're still doing good numbers. It was 55,000 last spring. It was 54,000 and change the year before. So people still show up at Sanford Stadium, even with some of the construction and things that were going on. But, you know, I don't think Kirby's worried, like in Nebraska, that someone's going to come in, as we said, when somebody sees there's your spring game depth chart. Hey, Bobby, got to get you over to Big State over here. It will start. It seems like you're a little low on that depth chart down there at Georgia. Nebraska lost 5 starters after their spring game, and their fans freaked out.
I hope that it continues, but I could see why it might not. And the reason is simple. To Kirby's point, what we did 10 years ago is not what we're doing now. And what we're going to do 10 years from now is not going to be what we were doing 10 years ago. So I think when you start talking about what's the value of it from a fan's perspective, I still think alums and fans are interested in seeing the new faces, and there's something to that. And every spring it gives you an opportunity to see those people as you get excited for the fall. But also from a coaching standpoint, Mike, they can get the work in. They don't have to do the spring game, and that's it. And he's talking about, like, you run guys out there, and there's a chance for injury. There's always a chance for that, but you're increasing that with amping guys up to get them ready for what is a glorified practice.
Right, and as we said, you know, some folks around the country look at spring football as just a complete waste of time and silly. But you know, it's funny when you got a new coach and you got big recruits, you want to see it.
Yes, right.
Sometimes when you're on top of the mountain and you're like, I've got time for this stuff, you know, because now I'm a target. And if you feel that, yeah, all the things you just talked about, from losing guys to injury to, you know, yes, pilfering with the portal, although Kirby wouldn't acknowledge that. Yeah, I mean, maybe you've readjust. And as we said, it's a moving target in college football. Everything's changed. But I know for some Georgia fans, they will be disappointed that it's not going to happen.
I would agree. A couple of news notes, guys, that we got to get to. We've been talking about the Falcons.
And we mentioned, speaking of Georgia, David Andrews got released by the Patriots, longtime center, right?
That's correct.
But he is, you know, a little older, and he was coming off a big injury. But we got a new guy, which might be interesting, Carl. D. Led just tweeted, and this comes from Jordan Reed, who covers the Vikings. Would you be interested in Garrett Bradbury, center for the Vikings, if they can't trade him? Looks like he's going to be released. The connection to the Falcons, Dwayne Ledford, our offensive line coach, was his offensive line coach at NC State.
How old is he?
He'll be 30 in June. He's never missed a game. He started 88 games, played in 88, started in 88 for the Vikings.
Okay. We are a good run-blocking line. He fits that mode. Can he pass protect? How good of a pass protector is he?
I would imagine he was there for Cousins' run, and then, of course, last year with Sam Darnold.
And I ask that only because, again, you're protecting Michael Penix. You don't want that to be an issue right up the middle. And is this just a simply salary dump, or is there a reason?
Well, because apparently they picked up Colts Pro Bowl center Ryan Kelly. Okay. So they've kind of upgraded, but one man's trash or discard is another man's treasure. Because remember, guys, Drew Dahlman signs a deal, so he's gone. He's out, signs with the Bears. And then we've got a guy in Ryan Neuzel, who is, you know, we tendered him, so he's a good backup. Maybe they feel they can upgrade. I don't know. I'm not putting words in Terry's mouth, but anyway, there's another center who's got a good rep in the league. Who's out there?
So they have options.
Right.
That's the main thing. And we don't know who they're ultimately going to go with, or at least they're my guess is, Mike, we're going to have a bunch of guys at camp
that
play, and they'll try to figure it out.
I don't know how you ranked. You know, we looked at the Mike Hughes numbers on PFF. Hey, what's Chris had him at, 32 out of 64?
Yeah, out of 64 possible centers that played last year, he was 33.
All right. So, I mean, he's a dude. He's not a Pro Bowl quality, but he's a dude. But we've always had good guys like Todd McClure and Robbie Toback. They don't necessarily have to be, you know, the consummate Pro Bowlers to be good at your job at center.
For sure. And again, you just want options. And that tie that you're talking about to the O-line coach doesn't matter. I mean, he knows him, and if he feels like he can still play, they may reach out.
Look, Alex Mack was just a thing in 2016. It was huge. We don't have the money for something like that, and that guy's not available this year.
All right, coming up, guys, we'll go around the yard, let you hear a little bit of what Snit's talking about as we discuss the Braves. Also, 6 o'clock hour, straight ahead, Seth Emerson stopped by. He addressed some of the stuff that Kirby was talking about. You definitely will want to hear it. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Mike, you were telling me somebody got shelled today. It wasn't somebody we are counting on, right?
Well, I don't know if you had high hopes for Anderson Pilar.
Oh, okay.
From the DR.
Yes.
Who may be DFA'd. it wasn't good. The Phillies hit up the Braves for 16 runs today, Carl.
How many?
That's 16, including a four spot in the first inning. It wasn't great. So, if you're keeping score, it was Pilar. He didn't get through the second inning. 7 earned runs, 4 hits. Yeah. His ERA of 14.29. Well, they can't all be gems.
Arcia had an RBI today.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
How about that?
Arcia with an RBI.
Hey.
Chris, be quiet.
Chris's guy, by the way, Jared Kelnick, 174 so far in spring training. So he's really hitting the ground running, Carl.
Shocking.
0-3 today.
Wow. So,
yeah. But De La Cruz, who would be platooning until Acuna gets ready, he's batting .333 in spring training, which is nice. He was 1-for-3 with an RBI today.
Yeah, he is. It is spring training. But yes, that's he got shelled today, didn't he?
He's a De La Cruz, by the way. He's a guy that nobody knows because he played in Miami for a couple of years. He can hit it a little bit. Like, he's got some pop, so I would prefer him maybe over certain other players getting playing time in the outfield.
Well, he probably will.
We'll see what's next.
Well, they said Profar is going to be ready, right?
Yeah. They said he's going to be good. He's back down there doing the work. Yeah. The bone bruise.
So, I mean, you know, it's that's the thing, Chris. I mean, he's going to be the guy more times than not. But I hear what you're saying until Acuna comes back.
Yeah, the fourth outfielder.
Yes.
Right. And by the way, guys, do you guys remember?
Trey Turner had a dong, by the way.
He did? A dinger?
Schwarber with a round tripper.
A long ball?
Tater.
Do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about that story with where we had the funny soundbite from Rafael Devers where he said he's the third baseman after they signed Bregman? Well, today he told reporters at ESPN that, quote, he's good to do whatever the Red Sox need him to do.
There you go.
He changed of heart.
Bregman and him has a little soap opera up there. You know, and the media will be all over that in Beantown.
For sure. Who's playing third?
Bregman.
Okay.
He won the gold glove.
Of course.
He's a bit better.
Of course.
Yeah, a little bit better with the leather.
But I say that to say if Devers is acting this way, I wanted to see. That's interesting. Yeah, a few weeks ago he was like, I don't play anything but third.
Apparently they want to take him out of the infield altogether and just make him a full-time DH. The David Ortiz route.
Gotcha.
Okay. And by the way, we mentioned Profar, the story yesterday. Profar is saying that he's very confident he'll be good to go for opening day. And we mentioned this earlier in the show. I mean, he wasn't happy with his outing, but Ian Anderson has been solid.
He's good.
Looks consistent and, you know, everything you need right now. And we've been talking about where's he going to be living velocity-wise. So far, he's looked good.
Let's hear from Brian Snicker, guys, on where he is and where his patience comes from. I mean, we always talk about this with Snit. He's never too high, never too low, courtesy of MLB Network.
I think it comes over time. I've said a lot of times I probably got this job at a good time in my life. Back when I had hair, I was known to be a little more explosive and things like that. And I think you need to have patience because these guys are trying. They want to do good. There's a lot of balls in the air for the player nowadays with all the social media things they have and things that they're asked to handle. And I got a lot of respect for those guys.
Mike, you know about anger management.
Yes. I mean, I've been twice. It didn't really take the first time. Second time, though, really much better.
What happened the first time?
Well, I mean, maybe it wore off. You know, maybe I need a refresher course about every 10 years.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because it was about almost 9 years. I had the first one, I think it was, when did I tell the boss to go screw himself?
That was every day.
Well, I mean, enough where I lost a week's pay.
Gotcha. That was probably 3 or 4 15, months.
15, 16, yeah, anyway. Yeah, it's almost 8, 9. I need a refresher course about 8 years, every 8 years. So, but anchor man, Snicker was a hothead.
Well, and that's funny because he's like, when I had hair, which makes me laugh, but he says, I got this job at the right time. How long was that class, by the way? Seriously.
It was 10 sessions the first time.
Because I remember you telling me about this. We were having discussions off air.
That was Dr. Bemis.
Yes. Yeah.
And he was right out of Central Casting. Yeah. Mike, why do you think you're here? Because my boss is a turd.
Yeah. Yeah. he was down by the airport somewhere, right?
Yes. I can't tell the airline, but he had a great story, though, about, I don't want to put his stuff out on the street. But anyway, there was about, let's just say there was some conflict issues and trying to, conflict resolution between a pilot that was Air Force and a pilot that was Navy.
Okay.
And needless to say, it involved some counseling.
Yeah.
As it happens at all airlines.
I was going to say, for both guys.
I'm not a pilot, I'm a naval aviator.
use the term correctly. Right. Hey, Snicker also was talking about just, you know, getting ready for spring training and being back in this spot. Look, I don't know about you guys. When we had the best offense in Major League Baseball a few years ago and came up short, that hurt.
2023?
That hurt. Mm. Last year was a little bit different because the injuries just decimated us. Snit was asked about where he's at and just being in this moment right now.
And I said last year when the playoffs were over that I couldn't wait to get to spring training, and I'm in it. And so now to be down here with all the guys, and, you know, there are going to be bumps and bruises. There's going to be injuries. That's part of it. But, you know, if we can keep our guys healthy throughout most of the year, I'm really excited about what our team is.
Pretty amazing when you look at it. The year 2023, that then unfortunately we ran out of pitching, and we just got cold at the wrong time. 101 wins, 947 runs.
Crazy.
And then last year, 704 runs. And that's why I still think Snicker's best managing job, and he should have been manager of the year, was last year.
Last year.
With all of the injuries and the lineups and everything he had to go with.
Yeah.
What was the big conflict up in Milwaukee? Blah.
It's hard to debate that, Mike, in the way he had to maneuver. Even the everyday guys.
Right.
I mean, you're
without. 7, 8, 9 wasn't hitting.
No.
His stars were out. Ozzie was out for a while. You lost Austin Riley when it mattered most. I mean, you just don't. Obviously, you didn't mention Acuna. It was brutal.
So
Murphy couldn't hit.
Well, he'll be fine this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be okay.
Well, he's got to get back from those ribs.
Yes. That's
maybe Murph should take a cue from Suzuki, get a samurai sword out there, start slicing baseballs in half like they're doing in Chicago.
Speaking of other things going on in baseball, and we said the Braves lost today 16-9 to the Phillies in Grapefruit League play. Tampa Bay is not moving forward with their new stadium plans. And you brought this up earlier, and it's just interesting from a baseball perspective because of what they may ultimately lose. They may lose this franchise if they don't get new ownership.
I mean, basically, you got a shell of a state. Carl just said, I was just down there like a few weeks ago. It looks, I mean, obviously, it looks as bad as you'd imagine. It looks like a hurricane came through.
Right.
But obviously, you know, just gut it, tear it down to the studs, and just go build yourself like a 30,000-seat stadium. You build your own little mini battery. The neighborhood, I told you that, we love that area down there. It was a good little vibe. But, or, because you know, if you can't get it in Tampa.
A bunch of restaurants and
stuff
there?
Yeah, it's a whole scene is kind of, because, you know, 20 years ago, there was not much there. The whole scene is kind of crept towards the stadium. So by the time we got done with the pub crawl, we were right there. You know, that's where you parked for the race. They had a shuttle.
Sure.
But anywho, the owner, Stuart Sternberg, has turned down, you know, the idea of building a new stadium. The city's not coming up with the coin. You know, some folks feel it's better if it's in Tampa. We talked about it last hour. Meanwhile, Eddie DeBartolo Jr., that guy used to own the 49ers. He apparently wants to get involved in ownership. And that's a guy that does things the right way, unlike this guy. Now, again, did get in trouble with the governor. Governor tried to bribe him for the casinos back in '99. He didn't report it to the feds, and that's why the NFL said you can't be an owner anymore.
Yeah, and that was a big deal back then. Yeah. But either way.
Was it Edward Edwards? Was that the governor of Louisiana?
Louisiana, that's right. I just think that's the direction they're going to have to go. And you know, listen, the A's are going to land on their feet, Mike. I know you said they're monkeying around out there in Vegas. Right. But, guys, that stadium's going to go where the old Tropicana was, if you've ever been out there. And it's actually perfect on the strip and right there, good location. It's going to have a roof on it, retractable and all that stuff. They're going to make a killing, Mike. The A's are going to go from a team that didn't make hardly any money to being able to spend like some of the big spenders, I think not immediately, but certainly eventually, and be able to go, you know, vie to go get some of the best players in the league. Right. They've never been able to do that. The A's have always just lost players. That is what happens with Tampa.
Right. We've all seen Moneyball. I mean, we always joke around. The Pirates, the A's, the Reds are kind of that. You know, the Rays have always had a great minor league system. But yeah, you're like today's A's are tomorrow's Braves.
That's right.
Today's Pirates are tomorrow's Yankees. So this will be something. For those who know the Las Vegas Strip, the construction's going down. It's where the old Tropicana used to be.
Yep.
So right down closer to like Mandalay Bay and down by the Luxor and right on the other side of the airport.
Yeah, there's just a lot of land over there. I think it's a perfect spot. But it's
right across from MGM.
Yeah, but it's centralized where if you have, you know, people on the strip, they can walk to these games, Mike, and that's what they're expecting. They're expecting that crowd plus whatever folks jump on board, just like they did with the Knights out there. I think the A's are going to be fine. I just don't know if the Rays are going to survive. 404-726-0929 is our text line. You guys can always join us this hour, again, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, where it's Boneless Thursday. Buy one, get one boneless wings. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Seth Emerson. He stopped by. He writes for The Athletic about the dogs. Is everybody convinced that the Falcons are going to take a dog with the showing they had at the Pro Day? That is really what the question is. And there's no guarantee, by the way. But, Mike, if they don't, they can at least say we had a full contingent there, right?
Right. I mean, now, if you want to trade down, you know, we've had some situations where we've tried to trade down and you have a partner, it takes two to tango. But I just think where you're sitting at 15 – now, unless somebody really falls in love with Mykal Williams and they're going to move up or somebody ahead of us, I mean, the Cowboys could do next to, I mean, well, they could do anything. They could do running back. They could try to find the replacement for DeMarcus Lawrence. If they think one of that guys is a Georgia Bulldog, you could maybe move back and get Malachi Starks. But then you better get the edge rusher of the future in the second round. But see, that's the thing. Then you're waiting until the second round. It's the second
first
tier.
Got to do it first round.
That's, I mean, no disrespect to Arnold Ebiketie, but that's what you're going to be living with. You know, that sort of good player, but not the guy who's a game changer. And maybe Arnold becomes that this year with the help of Leonard Floyd and hopefully the rookies and the second year guys really stepping it up.
What was it? Six and a half for him this year? Yeah. Is that right? For Ebiketie? Yeah, he's got to get to 8.5, 10, Mike.
That's what you expect. You know, and I think, you know, we talked about, you know, there that year, but that was another example. In that draft, there was a clear first tier of edge rushers and a second tier, and it seems that way this year. Now, I mean, we've heard about Shamar Stewart. This is why it's so hard. It's a 50-50 shot.
It is.
Half of these guys in the first round are going to be busts. And a third of them will be really good.
Sure.
You know, there's a certain percentage that becomes pro bowlers and those elites, but that's what you're shooting for. So, look, I never said being a general manager is easy, but that's why you got to trust your scouting and you hope you nail it. And this is now where, after dedicating so many of these picks to offense, last year there was, look, he dedicated the defense, but it was all second and third round. So now you really got to nail it. And the fans are expecting it. Arthur Blank's expecting it. You got to get it because the team needs it.
It's a big deal.
I mean, if you had we had two edge rushers and we were going to go get the edge rusher of the future, that's different. Not the case. We need to draft a guy that comes in and kicks butt.
Yeah, we need it right now. Hey, you need it right now. You are caller number 10. You're going to win a pair of tickets to go see Post Malone, the Big Blink Stadium Concert Tour with Jelly Roll, Ciara Ferrell, Sunday, May 11th at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, plus a pair of Big Blink VIP tailgate passes as well. Tailgate passes, by the way, on sale if you don't win these tickets at postmalone.com/tailgate. Caller 10 is going to win. We're coming back 6 o'clock hour next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.